I feel like to say this since last night, it came in my heart, so it's still there. I thank the Lord for how he preserves us. So there are the storms, that's true. And so we were learning from the Old Testament and those families that when they veered away from the truth and didn't follow the Lord, there was chaos in their family. There was dysfunction. So I just thank the Lord. In a nutshell, I thank him for preserving myself and my other brother. I have another one that doesn't adhere to the gospel at all and rebels. But the Holy Spirit is powerful. It's important and essential to look at the Lord and to follow his word. And I know it sounds so repetitious, especially when you're a young adult or even a teenager. It's important to know that I follow the ways of the Lord. The scriptures are God's breath to us. And so even if we're too young to think of way into the future, what we start to develop in our lives will help us if we follow it. And the Lord said, you know, if you follow my way, there'll be life. If you follow your own way, there'll be death. Yeah. So you'll be like a living dead until you actually die. And I just praise the Lord, but there was an example in my family, just in a small way to say, that my father's mom was brought up Pentecostal, and but she married outside of the Lord. And so because of her, and I sat down with one or both of my boys years ago, and I said, Grandma still had the Lord, you know, she did, but she didn't follow him. And because of her, we came up with 82 names of people that were not saved in the family in the offspring. Mm. Wow. And it was not to say, oh, those people, but it's to say, God, have mercy. They don't have the Lord Jesus. Because of one person, we can affect a slew of people, even a generation. Wow. So there were the certain few. My father came from 13, and two sons, the oldest, got saved. And they married two girls that were Pentecostals, and they were going to the church in Brooklyn Lighthouse, and they served the Lord. They went to Bible school when it was in North Bergen, actually, with Sister Cisco. But anyhow, so because my father was one of the youngest, they used to say to my grandma, can we take him for the summer? And they used to take him up to the church for the summer. And then eventually, they even put him through school till he finished high school and went to the war. But he got grounded in the Word of God, and he saw people healed. He could testify of all the things, you know, with the Holy Spirit that he looked at when he was a child. And they used to have marches in the street for VBS and invite people to church. He was just, you know, in all that mix. But fast forward, after the war, he married my mother that wasn't saved, but the Lord graciously saved her 7 years later. But the thing is, you have to follow him, because my father went away from the Lord. And he married somebody not saved, which was my mom. And it's extremely rare when your spouse will come to Jesus and say, oh, you know, I love him so much. My girlfriend did that, too. I love him so much. I know he'll follow what I believe. Isn't true. Ain't true. Whatever your lingo is, it isn't. Because, what was it? David says, now I am old, and I never saw God forsake anyone. You know, but you have to follow him to not be forsaken of the Lord, because you know what? He'll keep you alive to give you that chance, even for many years. Yeah. My brother drank for many years, and the Lord still keeps him alive, living wrong and harming himself because he wants them to be saved. But if you don't, you're gonna be forsaken by the Lord, and you're gonna go in eternal damnation. So I thank the Lord for preserving some of us, and that the Lord had mercy and saved my mother 7 years into their marriage, because she was mentored by the two Pentecostal sister-in-laws, and they used to invite her over the weekend. Before I was born, she had time, you know, to go. But anyway, then even when I was a baby, so they were carrying me into the Pentecostal church. And then it was when I was four, then my mother got saved, and when I was four, I got saved, but I had to learn so much. But the thing is, whatever your decisions are, young people or older person who didn't marry somebody yet, don't do it unless God sends you to the right person. And the Lord will speak to your heart. Don't be so quick. And He will speak. And the thing is, too, from what I observed, is that it needs to be the right Christian designed for you. That's, I know, in Pastor's testimony, too. The Lord brought Sister Diana and him together because they said had the same mission and call together. So there's even that involved. So pray with patience because God has your steps ordered. And so I hope you take this kindly from me, but I felt like I just have seen so many people hurt. But in spite of these things, God used my mother and her sister, that all the siblings on my father's side and on their side, which was a large family too, of seven and spouses and all, even the spouses, they got saved either on their deathbed or pretty near that time. So the Lord says that when where sin abounds, grace much more abounds, and God is gracious in that way, and He has saved those souls. So even though the family turned their nose up at us, we were, you know, either we were respected, but a lot of them was like, oh, them, you know, oh, what are you saying, or, you know, you're Catholic, you're this, you're that. But, you know, something, when push came to shove, God brought people to the kingdom, and I thank Him for it. My father came back to the Lord. My mother prayed for him for 34 years. So again, I say, do you want to marry somebody that's lukewarm or someone that's not in the Lord just because he's just such a wonderful person? I have twin cousins. He's such a wonderful man. And they have a horrible time in their marriage. It's hard, you know. We knew another lady. She married somebody. It was from another, I think it was Baptist. She was Pentecostal in the church I grew up, or near our church, another group. And she said, you know, he doesn't understand the gifts of the Spirit and the spirit of it all in worship and in relinquishing yourself to the Lord and following His call. So, you know, even though her husband read the Bible and went to church, she said, I feel like I'm, what is it, I'm held back from living in the dimension that God had placed me or had for my future. So there can be sorrow. And life is already hard enough. Joe and I, you know, we went into this by God's call and plan. And so when those storms come and the ship moves and almost rolls over, you've got to be on the same page together or you cannot pray through. You know, and you can't pray for your children. That's even bad enough. We have one son that's a prodigal son. But Lord, the Lord gives you the way to pray, not only that you're just praying, you're like, oh yeah, I'm praying for you, we'll put it on the text, yeah, I'm praying in the group, yeah, we got the prayer request. It's different than what, you know, the way the Lord intends. He wants us to intercede. He wants us to pray through the Spirit, you know, pray for the person. And so that's it. But God is very capable to lead your life, and your life is in Him. You belong to Him.
Yes.
We're not our own person, you know. We think so because we have so much education. I didn't go to college. I wanted to go to Valley Forge Christian College. It was in Green Lane at the time. And my father said, no, I never went. But after I married Joe, 7 years later, we went. So, you know, I took care of the kids, but that's all right. You know, I was in groups there, yeah, prayer groups and things. So, you know something, God always turns it for good. What's meant for wrong. But let's not feed into that wrong ourselves because we're impatient. So let the Word of God speak to you, but you don't have the better plan. I'm sorry to express that. None of us do. None of us do. But obey the Lord and leave the consequences to Him. That brother used to preach to us. But thank the Lord that we can praise Him. I love the hymns that express what Scripture tells us So let's give the Lord all the attention and say, Lord, I love you, mm-hmm. and my life is in your hands. And even though this earthly life is in your hands, it goes beyond that. Spiritually, I want to be in connection with you. Amen. Because it's him and it's you. No, you're not on your parents, like your mother's apron strings, they used to say in the old days. Or, you know, or my father is a Bible study preacher. No. It's the Word of God has to work in and through your life. You yes. must seek the Lord, and he will be found.
That's a good word. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Happy July 4th. We'll take just a moment to pray for our nation today. Typically we have an event outside, a celebration outside on the lawn, but we're watching the weather and it looks very iffy. Mm-hmm. And so that has been changed. So our meals are the same in the palace, and we will have some games and some kind of mini tournaments if you're interested this afternoon. We'll announce that at lunchtime, what that'll look like and where to go and when. And if you don't want to, if you're not competitive, or you're no good at something, you can still come out and play. We'll just have some fun too. So we'll find a way to kind of celebrate that way. Of course, the beach will be open. So staff prayer this afternoon will be moved to tomorrow. So we'll have Wednesday and Thursday staff prayer, and this afternoon will be free. And then tonight, weather permitting, we'll be having our meeting on the beach instead of Thursday night. And so we'll kind of have a little bit of events today, and maybe there'll be some fireworks on the lake that we can watch as well after it gets dark, after our meeting tonight. So why don't we pray for our nation? We are a blessed people. God has been good to us as a nation and faithful to us. But as all of us are very aware, we have not just individually turned our back on God, but as a nation, we have been turning our back on God in very blatant ways. And we need to pray that God would move, that he would stir the hearts first of Christians, that we would be light and salt, that we would be his ministers, that we wouldn't be silent or hidden and secret and private with our faith, but that we would have a sanctifying influence and presence in this world. That's what God has called us to. And so we need to pray for our believers and followers of Christ. We need to pray for our churches. And we need to pray for those who lead us as a nation, politicians and presidents and all involved. And God is able. God is able. And if not a nation that will turn, a remnant that will stand for righteousness, dear Lord, dear Jesus. Brother Dale, would you pray for us today? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, have mercy.
Dear Lord, we lift our nation to you. Oh, the sickness, Lord. Oh, the darkness that has come over our nation.
Jesus, Jesus.
But Lord, you know, we're not here to praise the works of Satan. We could point out at what a great job he seems to have done in area after area, what inroads he's made. But Lord, you said when the enemy comes in like a flood, you'll raise up a standard.
Yes. Yes,
you said where sin abounded, grace much more abounded.
Yes.
And so, Lord, we lift our nation up to you as an opportunity for you to prove that, Lord. Show us how it is that you can undo all of this darkness in a moment. Show us how you can shine down with light from heaven and heal men's sick minds, the insanity, the darkness, that resistance that they have to just the most basic things that you've set up in your nature, man and woman, marriage and children, protecting the children and governing the nation, having a food supply and having energy resources and just everything that a nation needs to run, Lord, it's under attack. And so, Lord, you said if your people who are called by your name will pray, you would send that deliverance. So we appeal to you, Lord. We apply to you, Lord. We call on you, Jesus. Oh, bring that light. We know there has been revival. We know there's been revival so strong that it doesn't just change the hearts of the Christians, but that even the unbelievers have a light that comes into their hearts, and the jails are empty, and the beer halls are closed because there's no interest there. Lord, we're asking for a latter-day revival. We're asking for a great change in our nation, Lord. Bring sunlight into the hearts of mankind, Lord.
Yes.
And we're asking for this world, Lord. We're asking for this nation. Call to you, Jesus. Yes. Won't you pour out your light?
Yes.
Pour out your spirit, Lord. Yes. And bring that healing and revival.
Lord. Yes. Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Hear our cry. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.